All aboard! The Clio Exchange Express is leaving the station. Welcome to the Clio Exchange Express, a conversation about the past, present, and future. A lively discussion between friends, family, pundits, personalities, and potentates, if necessary, in order to teach and learn something new. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the hour. Let's go to the show already in progress.
Well, hi there, and welcome on board the Clio Exchange Express. I'm Lou Phillips, one of your host conductors, and I'm joined once again by Mr. John Cheekdom, who's over in London town. Hello, John.
Hello, good evening, y'all. Welcome from beautiful, sunny England. That's I don't say that very often.
Yeah, and you said it with great gusto, boy. I like that. Well, listen.
I'm telling you, this is a-
As you've already determined, we're a little late getting started, and for technical reasons and a few other things, and we won't go into the gory details of it, but if you came here early, you happened to listen to a lot of the anxiety that was happening just before getting the show underway. But now that we're started, and we don't want to delay any longer getting to the focus for this particular show, and it's a wonderful focus, and the person that we're going to be speaking about tonight is someone who has thrilled us greatly and moved us greatly over the years, probably the last couple of decades. And so our music guru is waiting patiently and anxiously to take us on this journey, and again, it's going to be a journey that will educate, inform, and inspire, as always. And so without any further ado, let's go right to our music vault and bring to the microphone Mr. Joyce Chandler, our music guru.
Hi, all right, welcome everybody. This is George Chandler, and you're listening to George Talking Music. Tonight's show, our featured artist is Kirk Franklin. Franklin is perhaps the most influential gospel music artist since the death of James Cleveland. From the introduction of his first album till the present day, he has been the leader. Never afraid to try something new, he has shown the way to new possibilities in gospel music. Come join us now as we travel through the musical life of this great artist.
Yeah. And by the way, George, he's a Texan too, you know?
That's right. He's from the big state.
In fact, the Kirk
Franklin story begins in Fort Worth, Texas, where he was born on the 26th of January, 1970. Now, you may know something about that date. The 26th of January?
I do. As a matter of fact, that's my birthday.
There you go.
Hey, George, and you know, the strange thing about it, man, is I've known this kid through cousins of mine who are singers as well, and they grew up together. But I never focused on birthdays, and really didn't focus on him much growing up. But boy, has he changed that thing!
I'm telling you. Now I tell you, he started out life. He had a very difficult early life, in fact, because he was abandoned by his mother when he was four years old, and never having known his father. Franklin was reared by his aunt, Gertrude, in a very strict Christian home.
Yeah.
Now, Gertrude collected and resold aluminum cans to raise money for Kirk to take piano lessons from the age of four. And Kirk excelled in music, being able to read and write music, as well as playing by ear. Now, he joined the church choir and became music director of the Mount Rose Baptist Church, an adult choir, at the age of 12.
Wait a minute. Now, 12 years old?
He's the director, the music director of the adult choir.
Gee, wait.
Wow.
So you can see he had a lot of ambition even at an early age. And despite his strict religious upbringing, Franklin rebelled in his teenage years. In an effort to keep him out of trouble, his aunt arranged an audition for him at a professional youth conservatory. He was accepted, but was still a teenager out of control. His girlfriend became pregnant, and he was eventually expelled from school for behavioral problems. But after the shooting death of a close friend, Franklin returned to the church, where he began to direct the choir again. He came to the attention of gospel music legend Milton Bigham, and this led to Bigham hiring Franklin, who was at this time just 20 years of age, and to lead the choir at the 1990 Gospel Music Workshop of America convention. Now, that's a major industry gathering.
Yeah.
In 1992, Franklin organized The Family. Now, The Family was a 17-voice choir, and they were formed from neighborhood friends and associates. He also met Vicki McLaughlin. She was a co-founder of the small gospel-centric record label. She had heard one of the family's demos and immediately signed the group.
Yeah.
In 1993, the group now became known as Kirk Franklin and the Family, and they released their debut album, Kirk Franklin and the Family. And from that album came their first release. Listen now to the wonderful Why We Sing. This album spent almost 2 years on the gospel music charts. Let me just repeat that. Two years on the gospel music charts. And charted on the R&B charts as well. It remained at number one on the Billboard Top Gospel Album chart for 42 weeks. Wow, now, that was the first debut gospel music album to sell over 1 million units. This was unheard of in gospel music. Unheard
indeed.
Of.
Indeed. Still.
Another wonderful song from that debut album is the moving Silver and Gold.
Both of those were beautiful. Now, there's a little backstory, George. Let me just plug this in right here that relates to Kurt's upbringing and the household that he grew up in. You know, he said that part of his difficulty growing up as a youngster was that he felt challenged and never really got much recognition for the good stuff that he did. And at one point he just kind of went off and started, you know, hanging out with the bad guys, and while others were going to church and all that, they were in the parking lot smoking weed and doing all kinds of stuff, you know. And he said he became so accustomed to that kind of lifestyle that he just wandered away from the church. And then when he said when he had a child, the church kind of turned against him because they would always want to put him on the spot and have him confessing his sins and all that kind of stuff. And so he just fell away. But then, as you explained earlier, when his buddy was killed, he said his heart immediately changed. He said his friend who was killed was the goody two-shoe guy. He was the guy that was always going to church. And he said when that happened, he said God touched him in a way that changed his heart immediately. And he said that within just a very short period of time, songs started coming to him. And the way he described it, he said his pen got heavy. And he said, from that moment on, he said, I haven't looked back or turned away from my commitment to God. So the result of these two first songs, man, came out of the transformation that occurred in his life at the death of his friend. Isn't that interesting?
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Sure is. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
What a story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
and you can kind after of, the you can kind of see it.
After the release of that that first album, 2 years later, they released in 1995 a Christmas album, and it was entitled Kirk Franklin and the Family Christmas. The group released another album called What You're Looking For, and this album was certified for platinum and earned Franklin his first Grammy Award for Best Contemporary Soul Gospel Album. Listen now to the title track from that album called What You're Looking For. How this song would appeal to the young record buying public. What would be the funky groove and the great lyric. And also the wonderful atmospheric slow songs that this group was doing. Here now, also from the What You're Looking For album, the lovely Where the Spirit Is.
Where the Spirit the Lord is. Of the Lord.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is.
The Lord is.
The captive.
The captive free.
The wounded are made whole.
The wounded are made whole.
There's rest for your soul.
There is rest.
Here we go.
Where the Spirit is. Great. I mean, you know, I just love my slow songs.
Yes,
what do you think, John?
I want to ask you is, when that first album came out, and I heard that song. I mean, that was very popular here in London also, and I know it sold well over a million, whatever. I mean, it was a wonderful album, but he didn't get any Grammys for that for the first one.
No. The awards all came a bit later. He got his first Grammy. He first got his first Grammy Award in 1997.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got to serve the gentleman for that.
Yeah.
So as we kick it here, hey George, we kick it here for a moment or two, just to slow the roll. When you look at what he's producing and putting out there now, he's the engine behind this whole thing, isn't he? I mean, he's writing it, producing it, and is still a young man.
That's right. He's the director of the choir. He writes the songs. He does the arrangements. And he's not that much of a singer, but he has great singers in the choir. Great singers and great songs.
Right. But he's
around this time, life is changing for him because in 1996, he married his wife, Tammy, and they have four children because she already had a child and he already had a child, and they have two children together. And also in 1996, he had a song included on the soundtrack of the movie The Preacher's Wife.
Okay. So he's already expanding his vision about what he wanted to do in the industry.
Absolutely. Because the following year, in 1997, Kirk Franklin changed everything. He collaborated with the group God's Property. Now, you ask, who is God's Property? Well, they were a youth choir comprised mostly of students and alumni of a Dallas Performing Arts High School. The members of God's Property were significantly younger and more culturally aligned with Franklin than the family had been. And Franklin felt the strong pull of hip-hop culture. He embraced the hip-hop generation, transforming its influences into gospel music. Because in 1997, teeny bopper pop, R&B, and hip-hop dominated the charts. And Kirk Franklin and God released the answer to it all. Listen now to Stomp. I just love this song, baby. And also on this track was featured Cheryl James. She's from the duo Salt and Pepper. As you can imagine, Franklin took a lot of static from traditionalists in the gospel music world. In his 1998 biography, Franklin said this, and I quote, "One of our strongest critics, especially inside the church, said we had turned our backs on traditional gospel music and were just contemporary R&B artists exploiting Christian lyrics for the money. But that's not true," he wrote. In a Jet interview, Franklin went even further. He said, and I quote, "No matter how radical my music might seem, does the music say Jesus and does it not say Jesus?"
Oh, that's beautiful.
That makes it clear where he's coming from. As long as he's talking about the message, then he feels like he's in good hands. And as long as he's talking about Jesus, he's all right.
yeah.
It's fine with him, isn't it? Because Yeah, that's indeed. a tricky thing with that contemporary music, when you don't see.
All right. Now, here's another track from the God's Property album. Listen now to the glorious My Life Is In Your Hands.
Oh, I know that I can stay.
I know that I can stay.
I know that I can stay.
No matter what comes my way.
No matter what may come my way.
Let's sing it together.
Oh, yeah. My life is in your hands.
And don't you be afraid.
Oh, yeah. The God's Property album goes on to become his biggest selling album, going triple platinum. Again, unheard of in gospel music.
My goodness.
Well,
that's awesome. That's awesome. Can you hear me better now, George?
I can hear you better now. I can understand what you're saying.
Okay. That's awesome. That's awesome, man. And also the fact that he's no longer fighting battles within the church, which I imagine he had to fight a lot of them with this new style of music, man. Did he not?
Absolutely. He has another battle to fight here, too, because the following year, on November the 2nd, 1998, God's Property sued Kurt Franklin. The lawsuit in Los Angeles Superior Court alleges that Franklin induced God's Property founder Linda Shearwright into signing an onerous and one-sided contract with Be Right Music. The suit was eventually settled out of court.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, he's pretty... He's a pretty dynamic personality. Even I guess
I can see that would have been problems with royalties, because if you've got a choir, you got a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I'm sure these people didn't really understand, you know, contracts and all that kind of stuff. But they settled out of court and everybody walked away happy, so that's good.
Yeah, yeah. But I was about to say, George, he's doing the law's work, so he got to find a way to make it work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, his next album, we're in 1998 now.
Okay.
His next album was The New Nation Project. Now, it featured several mainstream artists. When I say mainstream artists, I mean mainstream such as R. Kelly, Mary J. Blige, Bono of U2.
Wow.
Here now, one of my favorite tracks from the New Nation CD called Revolution.
Wow.
Yeah. To make a dollar, make me want to holler. Marvin Gaye, I heard that.
right. My goodness, boy. Talking about reaching the audience of intention. He's clearly not concerned about the Bible thumpers and the, you know, the hymn book singers in churches. That's not what he's after. He's after the young folks, isn't he?
Yeah. Absolutely, and he's getting them too, because the music works with the lyrics, and it works with your feet too if you want to dance.
Right.
The bottom line truth is, church people love to dance. That's why they shout in church.
Yeah,
so they love to dance.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's plain to see that Franklin is taking gospel music to new places, both rhythmic-wise and lyric-wise. Check out the inspirational Blessing in the Storm.
When I cannot feel the sparrows sing, when I cannot
y'all wouldn't pray if you didn't go through something.
Oh, yeah. There's a blessing in this.
Yeah.
I like that.
Hey, look. Hey, George, you hit that last little line he just said there was, none of y'all would even pray if you didn't go through a storm.
That's right. Therefore, there would be no need to pray if everything is going right.
Right.
Yeah.
that's great.
Now,
as
we move into the year 2000, we find the family filed a multi-million-dollar lawsuit for royalties.
Wait a minute. Not against Kurt.
On the New Nation Project against Franklin and Gospel-Centric Records.
Mm-mm.
Now, this saw the end of the Kurt Franklin and the family records as Kurt went on to become a solo artist.
Okay.
And the lawsuit was settled out of court.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Everybody happy.
Yeah. Everybody's happy. And now, he released the album Kurt Franklin Presents 1NC, which means One Nation Crew. Now, from that album, Here Now, It Could Have Been Me.
Could have been me. With no money, no clothes, no shoes. Trying to figure out what I'm gonna do about my rent, about my bills, about my aches and pains. Through it all, you kept making a way. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Even though I made mistakes, your love for me had never changed. Can't help but say thank you.
Yeah,
now, you know, I
think
he really likes this one because he came back to this one later.
Yeah.
And also, from the One Nation crew, check out Breath Away.
Jesus, your love takes my breath away. I can't get you off my mind. I think about you night and day.
That's awesome, isn't it? That's awesome.
It really is, yeah.
Beautiful.
Man, did you hear those harmony runs that they were making?
Yep.
My goodness.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm.
George, what year was that that you and I went to see Kurt Franklin in London when he came over here?
That was in probably about 1998 or 1997.
About 98.
That was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon it was 1990, because that was just before our friend Bill Fredericks passed away.
Oh,
yes,
man. Yeah,
that's
so
right.
The
two
of us went to that concert.
So you guys caught him live, huh?
Yeah. He was touring all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
He was touring all over the place. And as John said earlier, these songs were hits over here in the gospel market.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That's beautiful, boy.
Now,
he's a powerhouse little guy, I tell you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And in 2001, Franklin ventured into new territory, scoring and producing the soundtrack for the film Kingdom Come. Now, the soundtrack featured gospel artists like Mary Mary, Trinity 5-7, Crystal Lewis, and One Nation Crew, as well as secular artists like Boys to Men and Jill Scott and others. So as we move into 2002, the CD The Rebirth of Kurt Franklin was released.
Okay.
Now, it topped the gospel album chart for 29 weeks and was number one on the Hot R&B / Hip-Hop Albums chart and was certified.
What?
Certified. Platinum. check out the uplifting Caught Up.
I don't know about you, but I'm not going to live in hell and then die and go to hell.
That voice sounds familiar.
Yeah, I'm sure you recognize Shirley Caesar on that one.
Yeah.
Now, other artists to make guest appearance on the Rebirth of Kirk Franklin CD were T.D. Jakes, Willie Neal Johnson, Yolanda Adams, to name a few. And in fact, check out the inspiring Brighter Day. Album, The Rebirth of Kirk Franklin.
Man, he's killing it. He's killing it.
Yes,
indeed. And, and it just keeps on getting good.
Yeah,
in 2005.
I mean,
yeah.
In 2005,
Kirk released the album called Hero.
Okay.
And once again, it went platinum. It went number one on both the Billboard Top Christian and Top Gospel Albums chart. The first single from the album was a hit. Listen now to the wonderful Looking For You.
Good to us. You brought us from a mighty long way. That's why we love you. Come on.
Oh yeah, Looking For You. I love
that. Yeah.
And you remember?
You,
and you remember earlier we played him doing Could Have Been Me.
Yeah.
Well, as I said, Could Have Been Me must have been special to him because he re-recorded it for the CD Hero. Now listen now to the re-recorded version of Could Have Been Me.
Wow, it's awesome, man. I tell you, George, there is something, you know, something very special about his words. You know how he's really instructing the young minds and ears that are listening to him. Are you listening to him minister to these kids in the words that he's using?
Oh yeah, because he speaks the, as well as having the rhythmic thing going. He's speaking words that young people can understand.
Yeah,
it's hip hop language.
Yeah.
It's hip hop language.
Yeah,
and that's to me that's the wonderful thing about it, because I want people to listen to gospel music forever, and to do that you've got to keep bringing the younger people in.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Because when James Cleveland hit, I mean, I was young, and all the young people loved James Cleveland.
Okay.
They loved him when he first hit. Yeah. And this is what's happening with him. He's bringing, he's relating to his audience lyrically and rhythmically in a way that nobody had done before, really. In 2006, Franklin won two 2007 Grammy Awards for Hero. Additionally, Hero was the 2007 Stellar Award CD of the year.
Wow.
2007 was a good year.
Yeah, indeed.
In fact,
absolutely.
Yeah. In fact, he released his 10th album. Now, this album was called The Fight of My Life.
Hmm.
It featured guest artists like Rance Allen, Doug and Melvin Williams, among others. And in 2010, after the devastating earthquake in Haiti, Franklin got an ensemble of gospel artists together to sing the song that he wrote called Are You Listening? They included artists like Shirley Caesar, Fred Hammond, Tamela Mann, Mary Mary, Donnie McClurkin, Marvin Sapp, Smokey Norful, and many others.
Wow. Wow.
And yeah, yeah. And in 2011 came the release of the album Hello Fear. For me, one of his finest albums. Listen now to the title track called Hello Fear.
Hello Fear.
You know what I like about him? When he sings mid-tempo songs like that, or slow songs, when they sing those unisons, I mean, they sing some wonderful unisons. And as a singer, we all know that singing unisons is one of the hardest things to do.
Ain't easy.
You know, it's really not. Yeah, but they sing some really wonderful unisons.
Yeah.
There's no
better
way to follow that up than with the inspirational, uplifting I Smile.
Today's
a new day.
New
I
day.
Like it. you can put that record on, you know, especially when you're driving, and it just makes you smile. It really do. It makes a smile come on your face.
That's right. That's right. And because it causes you to think about all the things that make you sad that you can't do anything about anyway, you know. So.
Well said, Rev.
So why don't you just smile?
Yeah. Now, as we move toward the end of the show, we find that in 2015, Kirk Franklin released his 12th studio album. It was called Losing My Religion. Listen now to the first single from that album called Wanna Be Happy.
If you're tired of being the same, if you're tired of things not changing, it's time for you to get out the way. Don't get stuck in how you feel. Take Jesus, take the wheel. He knows the road that you need to take.
But it only works
if you want to be happy.
Yeah.
Look at yourself and say,
don't you wanna be happy? Yeah. I just wanna be happy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely sentiment. Lovely words.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
Fantastic. Somebody at work for unbelievable.
Yeah.
What say, John?
Yes.
I say he's got somebody at work. Unbelievable. All those albums?
Yeah. Indeed.
Totally amazing.
And you know, part of I truly believe that part of what's driving him or what has driven him is connected to that incident with his friend, where he said openly that his heart was changed. And
yeah,
and as relates to this album, George, this the latest album that he released, it was driven by a thing that I read. It was driven by a desire on his part to change the whole relationship between the people that he's trying to reach and the church. He said he feels that there is a commercialization of the church that has taken place that is driving people away as opposed to drawing them in. And I found a little interview that he did speaking to what drove him to develop this last album. So you mind if I play it now and share it with the listening audience?
Yes, please do.
Okay, let's have a listen to
I'm very, very disappointed in some of the ways that we have really reflected ourselves in the culture. I'm really hurt that we have not done the best job of presenting God to people, that it looks more like a hustle.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that is true, and I'm very sorry for a lot of the things that people have seen in the culture. Did that really break your heart? Because you know that as a Christian, people begin to live because we're part of the same body, and so they think that we're all that way.
Right.
And I think that that's, again, the whole premise of the album, Calling and Losing My Religion, is because I believe that people want to be able to get to God, man. They don't want to be, like you said, you would love to go to church, but sometimes, sometimes the hustle discourages you from going,
right.
And so with this album, that's really kind of what I'm saying, is that it's time to lose the hustle.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to lose all the dogma. It's time to lose the systematic approach and let people get that Jesus, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm trying to do. That's what Kirk is trying to do. It's like I'm trying to get people to see that the purity of who God is not found in the systems. Now, church is dope, and it's good when you can find a really beautiful church, but you got to be able to see that man is broken, man is flawed, and the church is supposed to be a hospital.
Right.
It's supposed to be a place where sick people go, where broken people go. Mm-hmm. And I want to be able to say that's Kirk. Kirk is the worst dude in line. It's like if you talk about the worst broken dude that God has been good to, it's like it's your boy right here. And that's the image I want to portray to people, not the person that's whole and well. I am a child of God.
Right.
That's what I am. That's what I am. I am not for religion, because religion is always changing the rules, because religion would say, don't wear this, don't do that, don't do that. And the problem with religion can be is that you never know when you've met all the rules. For example, if you were drowning in a lake, and if I drove by the lake and saw you drowning, and if I jumped in the lake to save you, you'd be really appreciative, right?
Absolutely. You
would
can't
like,
swim.
Yeah. And like you would show me love every time you saw me, right?
Right.
Hug me. You'd maybe buy me some food or something, right? We'd be really dope.
Definitely send a gift to the house.
For sure.
Saving my life.
All that, right? Now, imagine if I drove by the same lake and you were drowning, but instead of jumping in the lake to save you, I pulled over and I started doing this. I started yelling at you while you were drowning. Swim harder. Kick harder. Come on. Doggy paddle. Come on. Breathe. Come on. Land it back. You wouldn't really appreciate that as
say
much, would you?
At the end of all that.
I'd be like, he must not can't swim either.
Right. But guess what? That's what religion does. Religion stands on the side of the lake and yells and tells you what to do.
That's
what I'm
true.
Trying to tell people is that what my hero Jesus did, man, he jumped in the water and saved you.
Mm-hmm.
And so every day you see him and holler at him, it should be that gratitude of appreciation.
That's Kurt Franklin, man.
Well, all right. Yeah.
I tell you, he's telling the story, and he's obviously see that the generation that he has been reaching and trying to reach, they don't get that old approach. That old approach doesn't work with them.
Yeah, yeah. And he's branched out. I mean, as you probably know, he's the host and the co-executive producer of the BET series Sunday Best. And he's also
right.
the musical co-host of GSN's The American Bible Challenge, along with James Foxworthy.
Uh-huh.
In 2013, he started his own record label, For Your Soul Recordings. He has signed artists such as
Walls Group and Tasha Page Lockhart. At the 30th Stellar Awards, these two artists received 10 Stellar Award nominations. The Walls Group won 7 awards, Tasha Page Lockhart won 3, and Kirk won 2 for the record label.
Wow. He's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, Lord is rewarding him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's done really well with awards as well. Probably more awards than any other gospel artist.
Is that right?
For example, are you ready for this?
Okay.
The Dove Awards. He's had 21 nominations between 1993 and 2014. He had 21 nominations. He had 16 wins.
Wow.
Between 1997 and 2017, he had 22 nominations, Grammy Award nominations. He won 12.
Wow.
The Stellar Award, between 2000 and 2014, he had 38 nominations, 23 wins.
Wow.
As well as one Urban Music Award in 2009 as Best Gospel Act, and an American Music Award in 2006, Favorite Contemporary Inspirational Artist. I think he's probably the most awarded artist. I mean, we can say about Franklin in closing, you know, in a daring attempt to broaden the range of the traditional gospel audience, Kirk Franklin was willing to take the heat from those who said it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
Mm.
In his own words, Franklin said, and I quote, "For me, it's all about spreading love through the words of the Lord. From my first songs to the present day, that has been my primary mission."
That's awesome. Yeah, that's right. He sure has. I know, and I've seen him being interviewed, and you know, folks are bowing down and laying, you know, accolades on him and all of that, and he always comes back with. No, I thank you for saying all that, but I'm still just a church boy.
Yeah.
I'm still just a church boy.
Yeah. And I'll be forever grateful to his music and to his lyrics, you know, and his approach because I like it. I really do like it. And I can very well understand. As I said at the beginning in the opening introduction that he's probably the most influential gospel music artist since the death of James Cleveland.
Yeah. And I think you have a special vantage point, George, because you kind of walked in similar sorts of shoes, you know, as a young choir director for adults and then, of course, moving into the front position on the stage and all, you know, the whole nine yards. So you can relate to a lot of what he's gone through, right?
Yes, absolutely. What I like about Kirk Franklin is he's ambitious, and he always was ambitious. He always wanted to be seen. Mm-hmm. He always wanted to be seen. He always wanted to stand out.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lesson. There's nothing wrong with being good at what you do.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with working hard and trying to be the best that you can be.
That's right. That's right. No, that's exactly right, because it's that attitude that allows and causes things to advance. You know, if you just had
if
you just had a bunch of folks who were happy with where they are and didn't, you know, wasn't looking to advance themselves or the things around them, it'd be a pretty mediocre world, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, but
that's right.
The thing with Kirk is one of those kind of guys, right? He's like, you know,
you always say in showbiz, you know, you get these egomaniacs, right? And
yeah.
But he's a different kind of egomaniac. He's one that he drives himself, you know, to do the best, you know. I mean, because nobody can.
Right.
If he didn't have that urge, that ego thing, he couldn't have gone that long, you know.
Yeah.
You know, because
I mean,
he's taken a lot of hits with contemporary music in over the years. You know, I'm telling you,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
He's going. Yeah. He said, I'm here. I'm going to do this. I ain't changing.
Yeah.
You want to come join me? That's what they've done.
Yeah. That's right. And I think also, John, in addition to wanting to be the best in artistically, he also creates the impression that he wants to be the best humanly. You know, so he's not
mm-hmm.
he's not trying to get out front and be on top at the expense of others. He wants to do it in a way that brings you along with him so that we're all the best.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very special indeed.
Yeah. You know, another thing I like about Kirk Franklin.
What's that?
When I used to see his choirs, right? He used to have.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go out for like them pretty women. He just went out for big. Everybody in some of his groups were fat, but as long as they were talented enough to do the job, they did the job. You know what I mean? And I thought that was amazing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh man,
he was
after the sound.
That's right. I tell you, he had some. I mean, some really massive women. You know, but them women could sing. Boy, I tell you, it was great to see. Great to see that, I'm telling you.
All right, John. I hope they're not listening. Are you there?
Yeah,
I'm here.
Oh, okay. John went silent on me, George. I didn't know what had happened.
I admired that.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know all the churches that I've belonged to, the folks who carried the water in the choir were usually always slightly overweight. But boy, they could fire up the church. And in that environment, that's what you're looking for, right? You're looking for voices and people that can fire it up.
Yeah.
So, George, have we reached the end of the road as it relates to Brother Franklin and his contributions?
Yes, I think we have. I mean, Kirk will continue, you know, to put out good records, and me personally, I'm going to continue to buy them.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a great testimony, boy, to have another. You know, master musician make that kind of commitment to you. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
So, John, is there anything that we missed mm-hmm. that you can think of?
No, I mean, when you were talking about he was going to do Kirk Franklin, I said, well, this guy, this is the guy that does. He's been involved in some heavy music over the years. You know, I mean, he's been able to sustain this thing for all these years, and that's not easy. That's not
easy.
You know. Really not easy, you know, because you're up against so many different things.
That's right.
But he's a battler. He's a battler.
Yeah.
And he's a winner, and I appreciate that. You know. Thank you, George.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you very much, George. And you brought some music to the table that'll be around a long time. I mean, this boy's music is going to be like James Cleveland, whose music is still relevant today.
Yes, indeed.
And
indeed.
And I think the same is going to hold true for Kirk Franklin. And we just give you another high five, brother, for bringing it to us.
All right.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, thank
you
much.
And then also, just as a final note, the fact that he has been recognized in the industry to an incredible degree all along the way. I mean, almost from day one,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, like that first album. I mean, it upset the world. I mean, it was
right.
The first debut album by a gospel artist to sell 1 million CDs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it stayed in the charts for nearly a year.
Yeah.
You know,
incredible.
I mean, it's amazing, and it changed everything.
Yeah.
As far as the choir sound is concerned, and made legitimate the use of hip hop rhythms and things of that sort. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, brothers, I guess after having gone through this journey, there's really only one thing left for us to do, and you know what that is?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, the conductor is telling us it's time to move on. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Let us know by sending an email to info@clioexchange-express.com. That's info@clioexchange-express.com. Until next time, we wish you peace of mind, love from the heart, and happiness you cannot explain.